Oh, Father, we thank you for the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for that dunamis power, that dynamite power that's in that name, the name that you've given us, the name that's above every name, the name that we reverence, the name that we magnify, that name, Father, that we extol and bless, that name, Father, that we hold in high esteem, that name of Jesus. There's no name greater than that name. There's no name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. There's no name that evokes the power that that name evokes in heaven, in the earth, under the earth. That name evokes authority and power. And we thank you. You've given us that great name in that name. Hallelujah. That name. Thank you for it. Thank you for it tonight. We honor you. Bless you. Thank you. As we stand before your word tonight, Father, we count it an honor to share from the written word of God, to be directed by the Holy Spirit. Ask you to be glorified in this very service. Ask you to have your way. Ask you to lead this time. Ask you to feed your people. This is your pasture. These are your sheep. Father, feed your people. Father, we look to you on the inside. Thank you for accomplishing your will, your very purpose in this service. We thank you for our pastors. We thank you for using them tonight. We thank you for your hand of blessing on them, all of those who are with them, your safety, your protection, your unction and anointing. And we thank you for unction and anointing to share these things you've laid on our heart tonight. And we'll be careful to give you all of the glory and all of the power and all of the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Well, turn and greet one more person and you can find your seat. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is good. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hey, I don't know what you're facing tonight, but whatever it is, I came with a word from God for you. Remember this, you are going to the other side. If you have your Bible, turn to John chapter 21. John chapter 21. I tell you, God has a rhema word for you tonight, and it is that whatever you're facing, whatever you may be going through some troubled times, you may be going through a tough time, you may be facing unprecedented times, but let me tell you this, you're going to the other side. Jesus has spoken a word over you. He's spoken the command to you to go over to the other side. Amen. Hallelujah. In John chapter 21, verses 1 through 14, let's go to the Word of God. I like to read from New American Standard. I have a few verses in New Living Translation as well. John 21, verse 1. John 21, yes, verse 1. After these things, Jesus manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and he manifested himself in this way. Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana and Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, the two brothers of his disciples, were together. Simon Peter said, "I'm going fishing." And they said to him, "We will also come with you." They went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Let me just stop right there. You know, these guys were trained fishermen. Apparently, five of the disciples are together. Peter suggested he's going fishing. The other disciples suggest they're going with him. And this is what they did for a living prior to following Jesus. Of course, they were fishermen. Jesus turned them into what? Fishers of men. But here we see that they went out fishing, but they weren't successful this night. They used all of their skills, all of their expertise, all of their knowledge about how to catch fish. They used everything that they knew in the natural. They did everything. They employed every tactic they did. They didn't catch one fish. And the Bible tells us they fished all night, but they didn't catch a thing. And then when the day was breaking, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And so verse 5 says, "So Jesus said to them, 'Children, do you have any fish? You do not have any fish, do you? And they answered him, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find a catch. And so they cast. And when they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. So when Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and he threw himself into the sea. But the other disciples came in a little boat, for they were not far from land, about 100 yards away, dragging the net full of fish. Now, it's one thing to have Jesus on the shore. You know, Jesus, in this story, Jesus is very much aware that they had gone fishing. He was aware that they had fished all night. He was acutely aware they didn't catch a thing. And as he spoke to them from the shore, they answered him from the natural, from a natural perspective, because they thought they were just talking to an ordinary man. And so when he asked them if they had caught anything, they said, we didn't catch a thing. But then when he said, throw the net on the right side of the boat, they threw the net, and then they hauled in so many fish. We'll see here in a minute, they hauled in 153 fish to be exact. And they had their nets so full. And when that happened, the Bible says that the disciple whom Jesus loved, talking about John, he loved them all. John said, it's the Lord. And when Peter heard it was the Lord, he put on his garment and hit the water, excited that it was Jesus. And he swam the rest of the way in while the rest of them came in the boat. Verse 9. So when they had got out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire already laid and fish placed on it and bread. Only thing missing, I think they had grits too, but that doesn't say that. I think they were having fish and grits and bread. I don't say that, but I'm sorry. Anyway, verse 10. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have now caught. And Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land, full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Verse 12, Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. And none of the disciples ventured to question him, who are you, knowing that it was the Lord? And Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and the fish likewise. This now is the third time Jesus was manifested to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. You know, this is an interesting story and a powerful story. And yet that we all marvel when we read this story. And yet there's personal and relevant application for you and I right here in the Word of God. My point to you after reading that story is this. If you get hungry, have breakfast with Jesus. If you get hungry, have breakfast with Jesus. Now, I should give you my title. The title of this message is On the Way to the Other Side. On the Way to the Other Side is my title. But after that story, if you get hungry, have breakfast with Jesus. You say, what do you mean by that? You know, it's interesting to me in this story that not only did he know what they were going through, it's interesting to me the plans that he had already made to meet their need. He knew they didn't have any fish. He knew they'd fished all night. He knew that they were really hungry. He knew that their immediate need was to have breakfast. And he told them where to cast that net, and of course they did that. But you know, verse 9 says, when they got out of the boat on the land, they saw a charcoal fire already laid. Isn't that interesting? You know what that tells me? The Lord was already planning to feed them. Think about that. They fished all night, didn't catch a thing, and he had already started a fire. That sounds like the Lord, doesn't it? Where's the fish going to go? If he knows they ain't catching no fish, they don't have a guppy. They don't have a guppy to eat. He's already got a fire started. Not only that, he had some of his own fish on the fire. Not only that, he already had the bread warming. He was already in the midst of planning how to meet that need. And whatever you're facing tonight has not caught God somehow off guard. You may be facing a situation, but let me tell you this, God already knows about it. God's already made plans for your provision. God's already got that thing set up. He's already got a fire started for you. He's already got bread on your table. He's already got fish laid out on the table. You can't see it. You say, well, I lost my job. He's already got a fire started up. He's already got provision made. He's an awesome God. I said, he's the God who can look ahead and then provide. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen than that. In your life, in my life, he's the God who sees what we go through. He's the God who sees what's ahead of us. And then he starts providing for us. And I tell you, the only thing we have to do is listen and obey him. And the key thing in this, we're going to read three quick passages tonight. That was one of them, one of the three. But in this passage, the key thing here was that they needed to recognize they were dealing with Jesus. And whatever you're facing, you may need to recognize the voice of Jesus. Now, sometimes we recognize the voice of Jesus. The easiest way, the best way to recognize the voice of the Lord is through the Word of God. Amen. Because the written word and living word always agree. Said, I wish I had a bigger amen. I said, the best way to recognize his voice is just get right in the word. Get in the word, stay in. You said, well, I read the word, but the Lord's not saying anything. Keep on reading. Because if you keep on reading, a rhema word's going to come to you. If you keep on reading, something's going to lift off the pages of scripture, stand out to you, and God's going to take his word and say, I'm speaking to you, my child. I said, he's got a hot bread from heaven, hot manna from heaven. Hey, it's the holy word of God. God has got a word for you. And if you'll keep on reading, he's going to speak that word. He will encourage you with that word. I said, he will instruct you with that word. If necessary, he will correct you with that word. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. God, you'll hear his voice through his word. It is the main way to hear his voice. Get into the book. Set aside time. Get up in the morning. Set aside some extra time to read his word. Before you go to bed at night, read his word. You get in your car, put a CD or something in there and listen to the word. They didn't recognize it was him. They didn't recognize until they saw the fish. When John saw all the fish getting it, he said, that got to be Jesus. There's only one person I know who can do that. There's only one person who can open a door like that. There's only one person who can open a window like that. There's only one person who can provide like that. There's only one person who can put a roof over your head like that. There's only one person who can put bread on your table like that. His name is Jesus. I wish I had an amen in here. John said, that got to be Jesus. There's only one person who can do that. Man, no man can do that. And what he said, cast the net. We've been fishing all night. And he just spoke a word. Cast that net. Only God can do that. God can do for you what no man can do for you. He's God. He's God all by himself. And he needs us to recognize when he's speaking. He needs us to recognize that it's him. Sometimes the Lord can say something to you and you're at church and pastor's preaching and the Lord will speak something. You didn't even recognize it was the Lord. Your eyes were too busy on the pastor. You missed it was the Lord. Said, I wish I had a bigger amen. But I tell you, when the gift of God, when Pastor Hagin comes to the pulpit, we ought to place a demand on the gift of God. Amen. Then there ought to be a transfer in the spirit where you sitting there say, okay, I know that's a man. I know that's Pastor Hagin, but now something has switched. And now my heavenly father is going to speak through him. I said, I wish I had an amen. God has a word for you on the way to the other side. We've got to recognize his voice. Said, we've got to recognize his voice. Sometimes his voice can come through a friend. And a friend can give you the most godly of advice. But sometimes we dismiss it. Because that's just Joe. That's just Sue. That's just Michael. That's just Sally. And we don't hear the fact that God spoke right through them. But if we had a little more sensitivity on the inside, we would recognize that was the voice of the Lord. And so when John said it was the Lord, that was all it took for Peter to hit the water. And I love it. He wasn't waiting. He didn't say, well, you know, I decided to wait to see if y'all caught anything before I struck up this fire. He already had that fire hot. He already had the fire blazing. He didn't say, well, you know, we can't have bread by itself with no fish. I decided to wait to see if y'all caught some fish before I got some bread for you. He already had the fish and the bread. And he's got fish and bread for you. What is it that you need from God tonight? God's got your answer. If you'll trust him and look to him. I said, if you get hungry, have breakfast with Jesus. What I'm really saying is learn how to trust God to meet your need. He had already planned that breakfast out. He had already seen their need and was providing. He already knew that they were hungry. He already spoke to them, told them exactly where the fish were. And if you'll recognize that the Lord is talking to you, If you'll recognize the Lord, when the Lord's talking to you, you said, Father God, I need a job. You may say, I've been applying all over the place. Can't find a job. No jobs. You know the economy. No jobs. There's just no jobs. If you'll recognize the voice of the Lord, it doesn't matter what's going on in the economy. God's always got a job for his people. I said, doesn't matter what's going on. God's gonna always provide for his people. I said, doesn't matter what happened. God's got a roof for your head. God's got bread for your table. God's got a pillow for your head. Doesn't matter what's going on. And so they had to recognize that it was the voice of the Lord talking to them. And if you'll recognize, man, you'll rise with faith in your heart and a pep in your step. You may not have a job tonight, but you'll have one soon. No, you won't be able to stop. You'll have to turn down job offers. He told them right where they were fishermen. He told them right where, he said, just cast the net right on the right side of the boat. He told them right where to cast that net. And whatever your need is, he can tell you right where to drop the net. You say, well, I've been dropping the net all night. Ain't nothing. But if you'll recognize his voice, and when he tells you to do something, if you'll, like my friend Jimmy Lott, Jimmy, when I was a campus minister, a student I had, his name was Jimmy Lott. He said, Jimmy's from Sparta, South Carolina. Anyway, Jimmy needed a job. Jimmy, he was asking the Lord for a job, and to stay in school, he had to have a job. And he couldn't find a job nowhere. And he was praying. Man, the Lord impressed his heart. Go down to one of the student offices, I don't know which administration, one of the administration buildings, apply for a job down there. And so Jimmy got up from prayer. He went down there, applied for the job. And so the lady told him, she said, well, we don't have any jobs. All the jobs have been filled. He said, well, can I fill out an application anyway? She said, well, you can fill out an application, but it ain't gonna do you no good. We don't have no jobs open. He said, well, if you don't mind, I'll just fill out the application anyway. And so Jimmy filled out the application. And so then he's praying and he's trusting the Lord. And one day the Lord told him, a couple days after that, go on back down there and ask about the job. Jimmy went on back down there, bumped into the same lady. She said, yes. He said, well, I came down here to check on the job. She said, there is no job. So she said, well, I thought you told me. She said, I thought I told you the other day there was no job. He said, yes, ma'am, you told me, I know that, just thought I would come and check. She said, well, there's no job. So Jimmy went back home. Jimmy was praying another day. The Lord told him, go back down. This is Jimmy's testimony. The Lord told me, go back down there. Talk to the lady in the red dress. Jimmy went back down there, bumped into the same lady. She didn't have no red dress on. She said, yes. He said, I'm down here to check on the job. She said, I already told you there's no job. There ain't no job here. So Jimmy said, is there some, he said, forgive me, ma'am. Is there someone here who has a red dress on? He said, what? She said, what? She said, the supervisor has a red dress on. What? She said, well, wait a minute. She went and got the supervisor. She came over and said, yes, sir. She said, well, ma'am, I'm just checking on a job. Just looking for a job. Just need a job and just checking on a job. She said, son, wait just a minute. She came right back, said, fill this piece of paper out. He filled it out. She said, she told the other lady, she said, go over here and give him this job. Jimmy got his job. Jimmy recognized the word. He recognized that the Lord was talking to him. And the Lord made a way for him where there was no way. And the lady in the red dress gave him a job. I can still hear Jimmy testifying about it. With joy. God's got your answer, my friend. He still required them to bring fish to the breakfast, though. Isn't that interesting? I mean, if you go, he already had fish. He had fish and bread. So if you're Jesus, why not provide all the fish that they needed? You know he could have done that. He told them, drop that net. They got 153 large fish. He already had his fish. He already had his fish on the charcoal fire. So obviously providing enough fish was not the problem. But he told them, go and get some of your fish and bring some of your fish and add it to what I have here. And God always requires something on the part of you and I. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. Amen. You said, I'm trusting God for finances. God's going to require you to give your tithes and offerings. Amen. Didn't get no amen there. There's always something God's going to require on our part. Because we walk by faith and not by sight. And so even though Jesus had fish, getting fish was no problem for Jesus. He made them go and bring some of their fish in an act of obedience. I wish I had an amen in here. Listen for his voice through the inward witness. Ask him where the fish are. Then do what he tells you to do. Our second story tonight is in Matthew chapter 4. Oh man, look at the time. Matthew 4. I'm going to start at verse 35 here. John 21, that first story, we said, listen, if you're hungry, go have breakfast with Jesus. Now we're going on to a different story. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side. I think this is New Living. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side. And while he sent the crowds away, and after he had sent the crowds away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. And when his disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, it's a ghost. But they cried out in fear, and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. And Peter said to him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, took hold of him, and said, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind stopped. And those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, you certainly are God's son. Listen to me, my friend. If you get discouraged, learn how to get out of the boat and walk with Jesus on the water. You're going to have to release your faith if you're going to do this. But this story represents a problem that we face, that we have to get our eyes off of the problem. We're going to have to decide if you're going to get through what you're going through in this particular story, my friend. Here's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to decide that Jesus has your answer. You're going to have to decide that your promise is greater than your problem. And you're going to have to decide to get your eyes off your problem. Now, some people, they never get over their problem because they're looking at everybody else around them. They compare themselves to everybody else around them, and they only do what they see people around them do. That's a good recipe for disaster. But let me tell you, there are some problems. You're going to have to get out of that boat. You're going to have to keep your eyes on Jesus, and you're going to have to walk with Jesus, ignoring the wind, ignoring the waves, ignoring the controversy or whatever it is. You're going to have to keep your eyes on the Lord to be successful. And here, Peter said to him in verse 28, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. And oftentimes, remember this, the Lord's going to take us out of our comfort zone. You're going to have to trust him completely with your problem. And if you'll do that, he'll cause you to do the impossible. Yeah, some problems, you need to sit down and have breakfast with him and learn how to trust him to meet your need. Say, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. Other problems, to get out of it, you're going to have to take your mind off of people. Get your eyes on the Lord and follow the Lord as you walk on the water, getting out of that boat. And still, finally, we're moving quick. This last story is from Matthew chapter 4, verse 35. That last one was Matthew 14, 22. This last one, Matthew 4, verse 35. As evening came, Jesus said to the disciples, let us cross to the other side of the lake. So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although the other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat. It began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up shouting, teacher, don't you care? We're going to drown. When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind. He said to the waves, silence, be still. Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? The disciples, 41, were absolutely terrified. Who is this man? They asked each other. Even the wind and the waves obey him. Let me tell you, this third kind of problem is only going to be resolved if you'll learn how to rest with him. If you get afraid, learn how to rest with Jesus. Use your God-given authority. Speak to your storm and then rest in your boat with the Lord. You're going to have to remember who's on your boat. And you're going to have to remember whose you are and who you belong to. God's created you and I as believers to be at rest and to be at peace. Aren't you glad about that? Rest is part of the believer's inheritance. Let me say this, he's at rest. And we are his body. He wants you and I to be at rest. You say something is shaking my world. You know what you and I have inherited? A whole bunch of peace. I hear him say, Isaiah 26:3, I will keep him in perfect peace. Who's what? Whose mind is what? Stayed on me. You know, our job is to keep our mind on the Lord. His job is to keep you and I at perfect peace. I wish I had an amen in this place. I said rest is part of the believer's inheritance. I hear him saying, John 14, 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give unto you. So let not your hearts be troubled and neither let them be afraid. I tell you, that's a rhema word for somebody right now tonight. Don't let your heart be troubled and neither let it be afraid. I wish I had a bigger amen in here. I hear him say in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God, and then the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and your mind. Thank God. Will guard your heart and your mind. Hallelujah in Christ Jesus. We're going to experience his peace. We're going to have to make a decision not to worry. We're going to have to make a decision to be anxious for nothing. And we're going to have to let his peace stand as a garrison over what we think and over our, I wish I had a bigger amen, and over our hearts. Amen. We're going to have to learn to speak to the storm, to rise up, as I say, with that God-given authority and to speak peace to our situation. What are you going through tonight? I don't know, my friend. But as I close this message, I can only tell you that these three scriptures stood out to me as I was preparing tonight. You may need to have breakfast with him and learn how to trust him to meet your need and whatever you're facing. You may need to get out of the boat and walk with him on the water, keeping your eyes focused on him to get out of your situation. You may need to chill with Jesus in your boat. You may need to learn how to rest with him in the boat, not be rocked by the storm. I want to close with these scriptures, Isaiah 40:28-31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the end of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary. And to him who lacks might, he increases power. And though youths grow weary and tired, vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait on the Lord will gain new strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagle. They'll run and not get tired. They'll walk, not become weary. Isaiah 41:10, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be anxious. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 43:1, but now says the Lord your creator, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear. I have redeemed you. I've called you by name in your mind. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. My friend, what are you facing tonight? Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You're not just a conqueror tonight, but through Christ, you're more than a conqueror. I came to tell you tonight, you're not about to go under, you're going over. I came by here to tell you, it doesn't matter what you have to do, how tough it is, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I came by here to tell you things aren't getting worse for you, things are getting better for you. I came by here to tell you weeping may endure for a night. I wish I had an amen, but joy, God's joy comes in the morning. With every head bowed, Father, we've endeavored to share tonight along these lines, Father God, and we thank you for your precious people here tonight. And Father, you know every heart, you see every situation. And Father, some need to trust you. Some need to be able to trust you and recognize your voice. Obey you as you're speaking to them. Still others need to learn how to rest after they've spoken with authority, after they've spoken peace to their situation. They need to learn how to rest and not be anxious. Still others who may have gotten discouraged need to learn and know how to get out of the boat, walk with you on the water, keeping their eyes on you, keeping their heart and emotions and feelings off of the wind and the waves. Father, these are your people. You know what they're going through. You know what they're facing. But tonight, we make a decision to cast it all on you. We make a decision, Father, to turn it all over to you. Every head's bowed, every eye is closed. How many in here right now tonight, you say, I have something I need to turn over to the Lord. I have something I need to make right with him. Yep. I got something I need to make right. Go ahead right now and just turn it over to him. Just turn it over to him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Just turn it over to him. I wonder if you're here tonight. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. I wonder if you're here and you've been walking with Jesus, but now you've gone your own way here. You've been making your own decisions. You've been calling your own shots. You've been doing your own thing. And I wonder tonight if you say right here, I'm ready to come back. I'm ready to come back. See, God, how can he guide you if you've taken charge of the ship? You've taken direction of the ship. I wonder if we have somebody in this place tonight. Let me see your hand. Every head's bowed. Yes, I see your hand. I'm ready. I'm ready to come back. I'm ready to make it right. Yes, see your hand. I'm ready to make it right. I don't want to go on trying to drive my own ship. I don't want to go on. Yeah. Thank God. I want you to do something for me. I want to pray for you. God's got something for you tonight. God's got something for everybody, but he's got something especially for you tonight. And you raised your hand just a moment ago. I want you to do something for me. Just want you to boldly and in the name of Jesus, just want you to stand right up on your feet, right where you are, right where you're sitting. Just stand right up. Just right now. Just stand right up. Just boldly stand. That's right. Just stand. That's right. That's right. Just want you to just step out on the aisle and come down here. I'm going to pray for you. God's got something special for you. Come on down here. Just come right on down here. I know it's a big walk, but God's got a blessing for you. God's got help for you. Praise God. That's all right. Come on. Come on. Praise God. God sees you. He sees what you've been going through. God wants to help you. He wants to help you. Come on, anybody, not too late. God's got something for you tonight. I know it's a long step, but oh man, he's going to help you. Oh, it's going to be so worth it. It's going to be worth it. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Just want you to lift one hand to the Lord. Just lift one hand to the Lord. Say this prayer after me. Father God, I love you. And tonight, I make a decision as an act of my will to come home to you. In my will, in my attitude, in my emotions, in every area of my life and heart, I submit myself to you. Forgive me where I've gone wrong. Wash away the mistakes that I've made through the blood of Jesus Christ. And welcome me into your kingdom again. And I will serve you, and I will love you, and I will live for you all the days of my life. Now lift both hands and just worship him and thank him for that. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, thank you for honest hearts in the name of Jesus. Oh, I thank you for breakthroughs. Breakthroughs. Oh, Father, work miracles in their lives. Open doors for them like never before. Father, establish them. I thank you. You're helping them. You're helping them in every area of life. Thank you. Oh, hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Woo, man, praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, I see it's like somebody opened a door to in a darkened room. Somebody opened a door and a beacon of light is flooding in there. Woo, everything is going to be different. Everything is going to change. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Oh, man. But I tell you, our pastors, they have a favorite saying. They have a favorite saying. I'm going to say it tonight. I'm going to borrow it from them. Hide and watch. God's going to do some amazing things in your life. You watch and see. You wait and see. Wow. Wow. Your step of obedience tonight has gotten the Lord's attention. Wow. And God's going to reveal himself. He's going to manifest himself. You're going to start to recognize his voice. You're going to start to hear the Lord talking to you and leading you in ways that are amazing. Hallelujah. God's got some awesome things in store for you. Glory to God. Ah, glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. These good folks right here are our prayer partners, and I just want you to go with them. Ben's going to lead you to a place of prayer, give you some free materials, make sure you got everything you came for. Let's give them a big hand. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Point your hand toward them. Father, we thank you so much. Oh, thank you, Father, helping your people. Thank you. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. Oh, thank you for it. May they receive everything they came for. Oh, and may there be a powerful flow of the mighty baptism of the Holy Ghost. Father God, oh, thank you for it. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, if you can't get excited over that, something wrong with you. Amen. Pray. You need to come down here. Let me smack you. No, let me pray for you. No, God is good. Joy is in heaven. One person repents. Well, stand up on your feet. Praise God. Remember, Jesus knows where the fish are. You have something that you need. Hey, your elder brother is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you'll ask him and listen, he'll tell you where to drop that net. You might have to do like Jimmy Lott. You might have to go back to where he told you to go, but he'll bless you if you do that. I remember my son John Paul, he was looking for a job, and he had applied all over, hadn't found the job. We're letting them get everything out. He hadn't found a job, and I told him, you know, apply at that, there's a golf course right near the house there. I said, apply there, John, because then, you know, you don't have to burn a lot of gas to get to work. And he had applied there, hadn't heard nothing. And we were on our way to play golf, he and I. We're in the car headed to the golf course. We got a tee time. Down in my spirit, I start sensing, go over there, go over there, have him go in there and check on that. He's already applied, hadn't heard nothing. He had called, didn't hear nothing. We just left the house, just pulled out the neighborhood. In my spirit, I go over there. I said, John, we need to go by there and you just run on in there and check on your job. And he said, oh, Dad, no. He said, they said they're going to call me. They said they would call me. I said, I got that. Just go back in there, introduce yourself, ask them if they've heard anything. He said, oh, Dad, no. But he said, they're going to call me. I've already called. I already checked. He said, Dad, I don't want to do that. I said, well, I'm getting something in my spirit that you should go and check on that job. Now, we can go right to the golf course, because I already got a job. I don't need money. He said, no, go on. I'll go down there. Drive down there. So we drove down there. He got out the car, went in there and said, hey, I just want to check on the job. They said, it's interesting that you're here. Somebody just quit. Come on back here and fill out this application again. Hired him on the spot. I said, boy, you better listen to your daddy. Jesus knows where those fish are. He knows where your job is. He knows where that house is. He knows where your car is. He knows where your money. I wish I had name it. Don't get me wrong. Okay, we gotta go. All right. Father, bless your people in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. You're dismissed.